Matthew chapter 13, reading from verse 33, the parable of the leaven. You can find this also in Luke 13, verse 20 through 21. He says here in verse 33, another parable, spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Father, we ask your blessings this evening upon your word. We ask, Lord, that again that you speak to our hearts. Help us as we work our way through this chapter, and that we can have a better understanding of the operation of the kingdom in the time which we live. And Lord, we just ask now your blessing again upon the reading of the word, for it's in Christ Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. This parable reveals again something about the kingdom of heaven, and it's showing us, I believe, the spread and influence of the kingdom to the world. Now, last week we were looking at the parable of the mustard seed in verse 31 and verse 32, showing the outward growth of Christianity from a very small beginning to a worldwide influence. And the mustard seed, we see the visible growth. In the leaven, more of an invisible thought that's here. It's visible, but more of an internal, invisible aspect of this. And I brought some mustard seed in here, still have a few back here, that you can barely see in the palm of your hand. And I showed you that the tree can grow as tall as this ceiling here, you know, 10, 12, 15 feet, and so it can be from something very small to something quite large. Well, as we come here to the parable of the leaven, again, this is found in Luke chapter 13, verse 20 and verse 21, if you want the parallel passage. As we come to this, we find here there's basically three parts that are mentioned to this, the leaven, the woman, and the meal. And that's the way that I'm going to break it down, spend just a little bit of time with it here tonight. And there's basically two major interpretations to this parable. And again, I will repeat myself as we get into this. But let me give you the two major interpretations. And I've had to change my views about 10 or so years ago on this particular parable from the way I was originally taught. And but the most popular view is the view I take now, and I believe that it is the correct view. The most popular view is that the leaven represents the gospel and its influence in the world. The meal has to do with the world or human society, lost humanity, and the woman is the church. Now, the other interpretation of this, one that I was taught years ago and held to for a number of years, and these are, all of it's dealing with the kingdom, and still yet this is a view, they're totally opposite of this, is that the leaven is false doctrine, that which is evil and corrupt. And the meal has to do with truth, and the leaven corrupting that truth as time progresses. And then the woman, under this interpretation, is apostate religion. So you can see there's quite a variation between those two interpretations. There's more than those two. Those are the two major interpretations. So I believe that the leaven has to do with the gospel and its influence in the world upon humanity. And I believe that the meal has to do with, again, human society or the lost world, and then the woman representing the church. And that's what I'm going to be bringing to you this evening. We want to remember one thing about these parables, all of them. These parables are given, yes, to the multitude, but to the disciples. And I'm not going to reread these, but from verses 10 through verse 17, the Lord is speaking to his disciples about the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, and he says there's things given to you that is not given to those who are lost. So these parables are given to the disciples to encourage them that the kingdom of God is operating and will increase and grow even in a wicked and evil world. So these are given to encourage the disciples or encourage all saints. So this parable, verse 33, and he said, "And another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened." It was very simple. We know what the physical aspect of this means when we think of leaven or yeast and putting that in meal or flour or whatever and the influence that it will have there. But he's speaking again, a parable is a earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And so as we come here, this parable must, in my opinion, be similar to the parable of the mustard seed. The parable of mustard seed is showing us something very small that will grow. And we talked about that last Wednesday night. And so the parable of leaven here, the leaven is put into the meal, which represents the world or human society, and it will permeate through society and will influence the entire world. And would you not agree tonight, the gospel has done that. And so this parable shows us the growth of the kingdom, and I do not believe it's speaking of something evil, which is what I was taught years ago and hung on to for a number of years. So the parable speaks of the triumphant kingdom. And again, we're not saying that everybody in the world is saved and all the nations are saved. Not saying that. We've never said that. We know that in the future state of the kingdom, there'll be new heavens, new earth, and so forth. But we're talking about God's kingdom operating today in the world. All right. First of all, let us consider the leaven. The leaven, and we're going to talk about again, the leaven, the woman, and the meal. Okay. And I'm not going to carry the interpretation to extremes. I'll mention something in just a few moments. There are those that really break this down and carry it into many extremes. You can't prove it, but it sure sounds good. And so I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to give you a basic overview. The leaven here, again, speaks of, I guess you could say, I hate to just use the word invisible growth because that's not necessarily true. But again, it's similar to the mustard seed, but it's showing two different types of growth. That mustard seed is planted. It grows a large shrub or tree, and you can see that. The birds come and rest and lodge in that. But when we consider the leaven is hidden in, the meal and so forth, or the flour, and it causes it to rise. In other words, it influences it in a proper way. So the leaven here speaks of the growth of the kingdom through permeating influence of the gospel of the kingdom. Now, we talk about the power of the gospel, Romans 1:16. We talk about also the preaching of the word of God. And the Apostle Paul said in Acts 26 and verse 18 that eyes would be opened and people would be able to see the truth and inherit the kingdom. So when we think of leaven, leaven is sourdough. It's equivalent to yeast. Today, we use the term yeast, really, most of the time, instead of leaven. And it simply produces fermentation. And that causes the dough to rise or to swell. And so it was designed, leaven, yeast, it's designed to make food more palatable and lighter. It makes it taste good, doesn't it? And so anyway, I was asking my wife today, and when she makes bread, what's the ratio? You know, and we're going to be looking through this here and considering some things with a little, you know, we know that in a bad sense, a little leaven can leaven a whole lump. I'll talk about that in just a moment. But I think, if I remember correctly, she told me 2 tablespoons of yeast will make about 12, two 12 cups of flour, I think is the way it is, or something like that, which produces what, 4 loaves of bread? Okay. And so you're talking again like that mustard seed, something very small that comes to be quite large. You're talking about a little leaven, you know, that's placed into the meal, placed into the flour or whatever, and it actually causes it to grow. That little bit of leaven placed in there will influence the entire loaf of bread or loaves of bread. So that's the ideal of using this. The leaven, in my view, represents the gospel of the kingdom and the permeating influence that it will have in the world. Now, in the Old Testament, the word leaven is basically just about always used in a literal sense. So when you see the word leaven back there, it'll be used in a literal sense. When you come into the New Testament, the word leaven, I think in every place except maybe one, it is used metaphorically. So it's used to illustrate something. And so let's talk about that for a few moments. Turn them to Matthew 16 and notice here, Matthew chapter 16. So first of all, the leaven in is representation of the gospel and its influence in human society. Now, notice in Matthew chapter 16, first of all, let me point out that in the New Testament, the leaven can be used as a symbol of either good or evil. Many times it's used as a symbol of evil. And that's why that people teach that Matthew 13, that the leaven has to do with corruption. You know, when you, again, many times you read and you'll find a little leaven, leaveneth the whole lump in that verse in Corinthians and Galatians in a bad sense. I'll give you the exact verse in just a moment. And it's used of doctrine of the Pharisees and scribes. And so it can be used definitely in a bad sense, but it also can be used in a good sense. I'll give you the bad first and then the good. In Matthew 16, from verses 1, especially verse 5 through 12, but in verse 1, he said, the Pharisees also with the Sadducees came tempting desired him that he would show them a sign from heaven. Now notice in verse 5, and when the disciples were come to the other side, they had forgotten to take bread. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, is it because we have taken no bread? Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up, neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000, and how many baskets ye took up? How is it that ye do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread, that you should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And so here in this passage, clearly the leaven represents false doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. You would read this again in Mark 8:15, and I believe Luke chapter 12 and verse 1. Well, notice with me, I'll give you just two more. In Galatians, I'm going to be reading in chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5. So we're looking at it, first of all, yes, it can definitely be used in a bad sense of corruption and those kind of things, of evil. In Galatians chapter 5, I'm reading from verse 7. Here, we're going to see again, it has to do with corrupt doctrine. And in this particular passage, the Apostle Paul is trying to show them that the gospel has nothing to do with circumcision as it was under the Mosaic economy. From verses 1 through 6, he's speaking of that. Then he says in verse 7, he said, you did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Again, in this case, in this particular passage, it's the teaching of circumcision for salvation, which would be wrong under the New Testament. Actually be wrong under the Old Testament as well, but especially here. So a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. All right, now notice one other passage. Notice with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. It's used here also, 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And if you're taking notes, Exodus 34:25, leaven was not to be used in a number of the offerings by fire in the Old Testament. So notice now in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, the context is a man committing fornication, and the Corinthians were not upset about it. And the Apostle Paul was showing them how to deal with the man, and he also was rebuking them because they were kind of puffed up, and verse 2, and had not rather mourned. And so the Apostle is dealing with the church and with the individual. But notice with me as we come to verse 6, he says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for you. Therefore let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So here, again, they were puffed up. They had not mourned over this sin that was in the church. They had overlooked it to some extent. And he's saying here in this passage, he's speaking of the leaven of malice and wickedness in verse 8. So obviously that's used. The leaven is used here in a bad sense. In verse 6, a little leaven leaveneth whole lump. That can either, in this case, bad. A little leaven, a little immorality, a little false doctrine can permeate through the entire congregation. Now, going back to Matthew chapter 13, and this time, reading this verse again, I believe that the leaven here is a symbol of good, again, representing the gospel of the kingdom. Verse 33, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Some will argue and say, well, every place in the Bible, it's wickedness and corruption and evil and those kind of things. And they'll say, and not only is it that, this woman hid it. In other words, she did something secret, you know, and so forth. So they bring the woman into being the apostate church. Well, the word leaven is not always spoken of in a bad sense. I believe here in a good sense, and I'm going to give you some verses. I'm not going to turn to all of them. But in Exodus 12:39, the leaven there that they had to pretty much leave or not put it in the bread. It's not speaking of something that is evil, but it was a symbol of haste. In other words, you remember when they observed the Passover that night with the shoes on and fully clothed? They're getting out of Egypt, and they're leaving very soon. And so in that particular passage, the leaven was a symbol of haste, and they could not take it. They could not take the time for the leaven to work in whatever they were going to eat. So they're to get up and go. And so it's not used in a wicked, evil sense there in that passage. Here's another one. Leviticus 7:13. Leaven was used in the offering of thanksgiving. It was used in that particular offering, the offering of thanksgiving, which is mentioned again in Amos 4 and in verse 5, the sacrifice of thanksgiving with leaven. Now, here's the major one with me in looking at this. Write down Leviticus 23, verses 15 through 17. The leaven was commanded by God to be used in the Feast of Pentecost. In other words, when they celebrated the Feast of Pentecost, which Pentecost was a symbol of rejoicing and thanksgiving, and again, the feast is not a symbol of the apostate church, but the feast back there that we know now, the Feast of Pentecost, and on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, we see the birthday, and I'm not going to debate with people when the church started, but we see the manifestation and the Spirit coming, and we see the Peter preaching the first sermon there, filled with the Spirit of God. And so I call Pentecost the birthday of the church. I realize it started with Christ and the apostles, but anyway, we find there that the Pentecost, that particular feast called by another name, the Old Testament, it represented the church. It represented a new order of things. So they celebrated that. It was commanded by God that in that offering, in that feast, that they used leaven. So it's not always used in a evil or corrupt way. Now, notice with me, here in Matthew, notice with me in chapter 28. Now, there's a little repetition in some of these parables, and just bear with me in that. But notice in Matthew 28, I'm going to begin reading in verse 16. I think I read at least some of these verses last week or referred to them. So I'm saying to you, first of all, that the leaven represents the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom is a little piece of leaven that is mixed with the human race, and it never ceases to exist. It began in the first century, and especially from Pentecost on, and we find that it is in all four corners of the world. It's spread throughout the world. Now, notice in Matthew chapter 28 and verse 16, the commission that the Lord give His disciples. Verse 16, He said, "Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. And when they saw Him, they worshipped Him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power," that's all authority, "is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen." This commission to carry the gospel, the teachings of Jesus Christ, the commands of Jesus Christ, go and teach, go and make disciples, and to baptize them. This commission is given not only here in Matthew 28, but it's given in Mark 16:15. It's given again in Luke chapter 24, verse 47, and then again in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. And each one of them has a little bit different detail, but we find clearly that they're to begin in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then to the othermost parts of the earth, and that's exactly what they did. I want to give you an example, and again, if I repeat myself a little bit, forgive me. But notice with me in the book of Acts, I'm going to be reading in chapter 2. Let's go through a few chapters in the book of Acts. This gospel went into all the world and is still going into the world. And we find in Acts 17:6 that they turned the world upside down. Now notice as we come to Acts chapter 2, I gave an example in preaching on the kingdom the other night in the mission on Monday night. And there I heard a story recently that talked about, and we know that the gospel has been in the Middle East for 2,000 years. And they've been churches, they've been Christians, and even among all of the atrocities that are taking place right now, there is still a Christian testimony that is in the Middle East. And if you remember the story, I believe it was 19 that were beheaded on the beach. This was back, was that not last year that this took place? Well, that, I heard a story of a missionary that him and his wife had collected some letters to carry to the widows and the families of those, I believe it's 19 men that were beheaded for Jesus Christ. And he thought he would get a few hundred letters. He got about 2,000 letters. And so they met with the families. And yes, there was sadness and sorrow. And still yet, those widows rejoiced in the fact that they were married to someone who stood for Christ, and they were married to a martyr. And one of these widows had said to the missionary and his wife, they had said that she had three sons, and she had hoped that those three sons would follow the faith of their father, and they would stand for the truth no matter what. And if they become a martyr, then praise God for it. We don't hear much of that in America, do we? We're so self-centered, you know, today. But the gospel is in the Middle East. Even with all the atrocities and all the things that are taking place, the gospel, as you've heard me say many times, is in North Korea. There's Christian people in North Korea, Indonesia, and Africa, and all around the world, some of the most closed countries in the world, there are Christian people there. Well, notice with me in the book of Acts, chapter 2, I'm going to begin here. I'm going to just read a couple of verses, go through a few chapters. Verse 41, we've read this many times, but he said in verse 41, then they that gladly received the word were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So here's the beginning of Pentecost. In verse 47, he says, they're praising God and having favor of the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Well, notice with me in chapter 4 and verse 4. In chapter 4 and verse 4, he says, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men were about 5,000. Notice with me as we come to chapter 6. In chapter 6, reading in verse 1, and I just make note when I read these, I make note of the people that are getting saved, that are hearing the truth and believing the truth and being converted. In verse 1, in those days when the number of disciples was multiplied. I'm not going to read any farther. The number of disciples was multiplied. Notice in verse 7, and the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. Notice with me as we come to chapter 11. In chapter 11, I'm skipping some things, but notice in chapter 11, verse 21. Chapter 11, verse 21 through verse 24. And he said, and the hand of the Lord was upon them. Notice, a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was at Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen, notice, the grace of God was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. And then he said in verse 24, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, notice now, and much people was added unto the Lord. Notice again chapter 12. In chapter 12 and verse 24, this is the theme of the book of Acts, the Acts of the Apostles. The time between AD 33 and AD 70. And he says here in chapter 12, reading in verse 24, but the word of God grew and multiplied. Notice that. Chapter 16 and verse 5. In chapter 16 and verse 5, we have these words, and it says here, and so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Notice with me in chapter 19 and in verse 20. In chapter 19 and verse 20, these are just a few from the book of Acts. And he says, so mightily grew the word of God and prevailed. So as we read through the book of Acts, churches are being established, people are being saved, and again, there's great numbers that are being added to the Lord's church. Well, notice back with me in Matthew chapter 13, and I'm going to give you five or six other verses I want you to write down. Now, along with what I've just given you, we know that in the first century that the gospel was preached to the known world. And as the world has grown, and geographically speaking and so forth, we find that the gospel is still being preached around the world. Romans 1, verses 5 through 8, these are just verses that show you that, yes, the gospel went into the known world. Romans also, in Romans 10, 17 and 18. Romans 16, 25 and 26, the gospel was to go to all nations for the obedience of all nations. But then in Colossians chapter 1, verses 6 and verse 23 are some of the clearest verses in Scripture about even the Apostle Paul talking about that the gospel went into the known world. And then in 1 Thessalonians 1, 7 and 8, the Thessalonian church, they were so faithful and vibrant that their faith was heard of, was known throughout the world. So the gospel, listen, when we talk about the little mustard seed and the tree, and we talk about the leaven permeating and affecting the entire lump, it literally happened within 40 years. In the first century, and it's been going on for 2,000 years, and as I said last Wednesday night, it actually even made it to Codin, Alabama, see. So it's, you can go across this nation. I realize we got problems in America, but you can go across this nation, and you can go just about any town in this nation and find Christian people and find ministries and find churches all across their land. Well, notice with me now, he says here in verse 33, another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. Again, my interpretation, it is the popular interpretation, but is I think is keeping in more line with the mustard seed, okay? And the tree and the birds and the fowl come and they find rest and they find safety and they find food in that tree, which representing the kingdom of heaven. Well, here we find now the leaven, again, the representing the power, the influence of the gospel of the kingdom. And now we see here the woman. I believe that the woman represents the church and the human instrument to minister to society. And this is how leaven is placed in the dough by the woman. It takes human hands, does it not? The dough, the leaven don't just hop in the dough by itself. It don't just get in the meal or get in the flour. Somebody has to take it and put it in there. So if the leaven is good, and I believe it is, and if it has to do with the gospel, then the woman here represents the church and she takes the leaven and puts it in. Let me give you one verse. We've read it many times. 1 Timothy chapter 3. There's many other passages that we could look at. But in 1 Timothy chapter 3, I'm going to be reading verse 14 and verse 15. And again, when I think about the Thessalonian church, 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 7 and 8, that church had their faith and the word was heard all around them. I mean, he says that they sounded out the word in Macedonia and Achaia, and I mean, just everywhere. It's spread abroad, the passage says. Also, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 7, there is a treasure. Does anybody remember what the treasure was put in? That treasure is the gospel, the doctrine of Christ, the truth. The treasure is put in what? Earthen vessels. And so the earthen vessels is what is carrying the treasure. And the Apostle Paul, when he was saved in Acts chapter 9 and in verse 15, God had told Ananias that he is called. I am going to use him. He is a chosen vessel and instrument to be used to preach unto the Jews and the Gentiles. So God uses people. And so the woman takes her hands and takes the leaven or the yeast, and she puts the right amount in the meal or the flour or the dough, and in order for it to permeate through that and make some good, palatable, and lighter bread. And so I believe that the woman is the church. You'll notice with me that in 1 Timothy chapter 3, we have here in verse 14 and 15, "These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God." Now notice the pillar and ground of the truth. The church is not the truth, but the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. The church is to support that truth and protect that truth and proclaim that truth to the world. So notice back in Matthew 13 now, got one other matter here in this passage. And by the way, let me just tell you this. A woman in the scripture, in just case so you don't think I'm off base with this, a woman can symbolize, number one, a kingdom, Isaiah 47:5. In that reference, the Babylonian kingdom. A woman can symbolize a city, as in Isaiah 3:26, and actually many other places. And then a woman can symbolize a church, amen, in Revelation 12, verses 1 and 6 and 17, and also Galatians 6:26. So a woman can, in Scripture, can symbolize a kingdom, a city, or a church. So we're not off base when we think about this. So leaven is purposely placed in the dough with the hands of someone. So the church takes the leaven, which is the gospel, and places it into human society. Now notice with me in Matthew 13, one other time, he says, "Another parable spake he unto them, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal, till the whole was leavened." So the meal. I've already said it two or three times. What is the meal? I believe it's human society. You could say the world, humanity, the nations, the lost, however you want to put it, but it represents human society. Now, I've been asked several times over the years, and I've actually looked into this just a little bit, but I've been asked now, what is the three measures of meal? And so I've looked into this a little bit, and you wouldn't believe the different thoughts and interpretations, so I will stay away from those. I won't even throw any of those out. You know what I think it is? I think it's just like, I'm going to ask you to stay in Matthew, because we're going to turn to Matthew 5. It's just like this. I want you to listen to the first mention, and this is in Genesis. You remember the story of Abraham and Sarah whenever the three supernatural, they got a visit by a supernatural being. And so that'll be in Genesis 18 and in verse 6. Genesis 18 and verse 6. "But the Lord appeared to him in the plain of Mamre. And he sat in the tent door," I'm reading from verse 1, "in the heat of the day. And it says, and he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him. And when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door and bowed himself toward the ground and said, my Lord, if now I have found favor in thy sight, pass not away, I pray thee, from thy servant. Let a little water, I pray thee, be fetched, and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of bread and comfort ye your hearts. And after that ye shall pass on. For therefore are ye come to your servant, And they said, so do as thou hast said. Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah and said, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And of course, that's what happened. Abraham went and he got out of the herd. He fetched a calf and tender and good. And of course, they had some steak and they had some bread and they had some butter. And it's mentioned in the next verse, so they had a meal. But here's the first mention of this, and it basically says here, he tells his wife, make ready quickly 3 measures of meal. Now, what does that mean? Well, I'm going to tell you what I think it means. I think it appears to be an ordinary allotment of flour for 1 batch of bread. Isn't that simple? You wouldn't believe some of the interpretations of this. I mean, people, they just find stuff that you just can't find in Scripture. But I just simply, you say, what does it mean, 3 measures of meal? Well, I think it has to do, I think a measure, and don't quote me on this, but I think a measure in Scripture is about a pint, you know, about a pint. So we're talking about probably just simply an ordinary allotment of flour for 1 batch of bread. She wasn't going to cook for an army or just for herself. They were her and her husband. I don't know who else, but there's 3 guests. And so you've got a meal. So I think that's all it is. I don't think it means anything else. Notice with me in Matthew chapter 5. And by the way, speaking of the meal and representing human society, Revelation 7:9 speaks of an innumerable host from all nations, tribes, and tongues that stand before the Lord in the end time. So there's literally millions upon millions. You say, where are they at? Well, they've been saved throughout the centuries, and there's people being saved every day somewhere in the world. We had 3 saved, by the way, Monday night. And so there's people being brought into the kingdom every hour, every day. And when this thing is over, there's literally millions, millions upon millions that will be in God's kingdom. Well, in Matthew chapter 5, let us close here. And just reading from verse 13 and 14, he says this. He said, you're the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. You're the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle, put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So we are to be salt and light in this world and in this earth, and we are to be leavening this world and good leaven that is placed into society. So we'll pick up next week with the parable of the hidden, let me make sure here, parable of the hidden treasure in verse 44.